Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Number 2. Selma Berkman and Estelle Krumen are interviewing Leon Arkus on December 11, 1978.
I'm Leon Arkus, A-R-K-U-S, 420 Coventry Road, Pittsburgh.
Mr. Arkus, in order for us to do this oral history on you, we would like to know some of your background as far as you know about it and can remember. Could you tell us something about your family's background, your grandparents, mother, father, sister, brothers?
Well, I knew none of my grandparents, except one, my grandmother on my mother's side. My mother's family was known, named Hoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N. My grandmother was Marie. My grandfather was Leon, hence my name. On my father's side, none of them were in America. Both, I believe, were dead by the time I was born. My grandfather was Yehuda, and my grandmother was Rachel, I believe. They lived in, and never came to America. They lived in Poland. They were from the city now, so Kalisz, K-A-L-I-S-C-H. My grandparents on my mother's side were from Kiev, Russia. My mother and father met in America and were married here. I am the third of three children. Oldest is my sister, Augusta. She was born in 1906, I believe. And second is my brother, Frederick, who was born in 1909. I think I've got my dates correct there. 1907 and 1909, I beg your pardon. I was born on May 6, 1915 in Passaic, New Jersey. Lived there until I was about, just entering high school. I had a half year high school at Passaic High School, and then we moved to New York City, where I entered Townsend Harris Hall, having to take a full year's examination, although I had only one half year high school training. I made it. Anything else?
Your family moved to New York, and
that's right.
In your home, what did your father do?
My father was originated as a family business, more or less. I think all his brothers were in it too. They used to be manufacturers of embroidery. This goes back to the time when things like embroidered handkerchiefs, pre-Kleenex, were premium, and this sort of thing. My father had a very large factory going. That's why he was working in Passaic, where I was born.
What was his name?
Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. My mother, by the way, was Elizabeth, better known as Bess.
And the name was always Arkus, or was
A-R. That? Actually, it's a strange name. I've never been able to define it. They tell me it's Hungarian. It's A-R, it would be pronounced properly Arkos. But I can't go further than that. I've been told everything. I've been told that it's a name for an archer. It also implies the maker of a large book, a tome. You see, now what this all comes out to, heaven knows. I don't know of any Hungarians in my background.
I see. Can you tell us something about your home life as far as religious or cultural?
My father was a functioning atheist who went to synagogue on high holidays purely because he felt he was a Jew. And that's all I can say on that. We observed absolutely no religious, formalities. All of this I had to come to in later years, and it's not something I would strongly advise.
Did you not go to Hebrew school? No, I did not.
I was confirmed by memorizing the entire text, and I was bar mitzvahed, and that's it.
Oh, you did?
I had to memorize it. I did not learn Hebrew. And the same may be said for my brother. My father went to a conservative temple. That time, I don't think there were, I don't even remember any such thing as reform. And that's it. My mother observed nothing. So we had no, what you might call, formal Jewish training, which, by the way, I think was severely lacking, a serious, let's say, lack, something which I'm sorry about. I'd like to know more. And
you feel the need for it now, or then?
I don't feel any need for it. It's just part of my knowledge and a knowledge of what you're about. When I look, I've been a reader of Singer for ages, and must say he intrigues me entirely. I think he's fabulous, and reading him, I obviously am missing. I've been obviously missing a great heritage.
Besides religious, what about your cultural?
We're highly. I must say, the family was oriented towards culture at all time. My father, we read a great deal. Music was dominant note of the whole family. Father was an avid opera goer, and we all grew up musically. All learned instruments except me. I played the phonograph, and that's about it.
And art?
Art came later, much later. As a matter of fact, we'll get to that unless you want to go into it right now. It's part of my history.
Yes, that would be fine.
Well, my first... Actually, my first intimations, let's start off this way. My first introduction into the arts was primarily as a concert manager. I started this while I was going through...
A concert?
Concert manager. Uh-huh. I started this while I was going to CCNY at the end of Depression years. I put on... I had quite a few concerts, primarily in the field of dance. If you ask why dance, well, frankly, I knew an awful lot of dancers. And I got involved in
this
one
way or another. This was while you were a student.
That's right, my last years. In fact, I never graduated from CCNY. I got too involved in trying to keep body and soul together because our finances went down very radically. We were very seriously hit. My brother at that time was finishing his last year's up at Harvard and was earning his own way through. By the way, he was 5'8" in his junior year and magna cum laude. He was having a terrible time. My sister was sort of, at that time, thank heavens, was out of school. She's Columbia. And she was earning... helping the family as she was at that time was an oral hygienist, which was the more or less the beginning of that as a field. And I was earning money by putting on dance recitals. And they were very, I think it's amusing today when I stop to think that my great fee was $100 a recital. But that was very good pay. Because I remember those days. In fact, my first job, the first job I ever took, paid me $18 a week, was $3 more than most secretaries got. And I knew nothing.
What was that job?
Well, we'll get to that a little later.
All right.
If you want to. It was during this period.
Like what year would you say all this, this manager and putting on these concerts?
Let's see. Let me just think for a minute. I started about 1939, 1940. 39 would be a better year. I did quite a few recitals. Most of them, as I say, were in the field of dance. In fact, I would say virtually all of the modern dancers of our time, except for Graham. Graham was, although she was in a number of things that I ran as dance congresses, this sort of thing, you see.
Well, who were some of the others?
Well, Tamiris, Doris Humphrey, Charles Wideman, and the whole, people like Anna Sokolov, Sophie Maslow, the whole secondary group, most of them got their first recitals under me.
And this was purely because you knew people involved
off,
in the dance?
Well, I danced myself one point because I was sort of brought into it. It was a lot of fun. Then ceased to take it seriously. I was asked to join the Wideman group, and at that moment decided that this was not my vocation. However, one of the primary person involved in dance management at that time was a girl named, yes, her name was Rosenthal, and I'm trying to remember her first name. She became very famous. She's dead now, but she was one of the outstanding lighting technicians on Broadway, the very famous. She did many of the important Broadway plays. Is it strange that I forget her name now? First name. And I spent about a half an hour in a drugstore, and whereupon, over a cup of coffee, most days you got coffee there, that's right, and that's where I picked up all my knowledge of dance management. And I must say, I have sold out things like the old Radio City, not Music Hall, but the old, what do they call that, the famous music, it was the concert hall they had. It was a very large one. And Guild Theater, I used to rent theaters. I was not of age to do so. I was below 21 at that time, yet I contracted and practically rented most of the Broadway theaters. You see, you had to have a theater that had a set that could be struck. Otherwise, you couldn't mount a dance program. So you had to have a clear stage, and this was part of it.
Your early education was in Passaic.
Well, that was primarily, that was grade school.
All right, can you tell us the names of the school and that sort of thing?
Covered. I think it was number 3 was Franklin School. I can't go beyond that. Passaic High School was I went to half a year of there, and as I say...
The name of that again, please?
Passaic High School.
Passaic.
It was an excellent school, by the way. Far superior to anything I've ever encountered since. I think the whole schooling system there was beyond anything I've known of. Certainly superior to anything in New York or here in Pittsburgh.
And the name of the school in New York?
Townsend Harris. Townsend Harris was an experimental school on the CCNY campus up on, what's that, about 141st Street. It was started back, around 1860, 70, somewhere around there. And it was terminated by Fiorello LaGuardia in a move to, economize. There were 3 of us in Pittsburgh that went to Townsend Harris. Might be interested to know who they were.
Yes.
Jonas Salk, and the other one was Steve... remember Steve ran...
Coffin.
No, not Coffin's, Gimbel's, Osterwise.
Did you know them then?
Did I know, beg pardon?
Did you know either of them in that unit?
No, not from that, because they were all before me, but Harris to me was an outstanding school. It was fabulous. And anything after that was a come down.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the college.
On which college was it?
I had to go to CCNY. I was broke. CCNY is nothing but an incredibly difficult, or was in those days, education mill. You didn't go there for any social advantages. You went for an education. If you didn't want it, you got out. It was brutal, probably the hardest college in America. And I must say, I do respect anybody who came through.
What did you major in? What were you
I was majoring in English, the English literature, primarily the Restoration drama, which is amusing in light of the period and the futility of it all, the absurdity, is what made me lose interest in the entire thing. I wrecked my schooling by trying to get into something which was far more realistic, like I went down to Cooper's Union and see if I could enter into engineering. And after much testing, they recommended that I, together with engineering, would be best at poles apart. So I then went down to accounting school, which I really detested. And after about a year or so, pulled out of that. I guess...
You did attend the 1 year of an accounting school.
Yes, that's right. At CCNY, they have engineering. They had a accounting business college. Mm-hmm. And so I pulled out of that. And at that moment, I drifted and stayed out. I'm not... Of course, the emphasis on education has all come subsequently. And... Actually, that's about all I have to say. I must say, even to this very day, I still have a considerable contempt for academia.
Do you remember any of your friends or teachers that influenced you or that you like to think back on?
None especially, really. None of these people would you have ever heard
That's
of.
What I
mean,
That's
I have right. nobody that sort of that became. I was editor of the school paper, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And my predecessor was Jimmy Wexler, who became the editor of the New York Post. This sort of thing, you see. But I can't think of anybody of that period of any great significance. As I say, from there I went into, I had another field, by the way. I made money while I was at school. This was a period when many of the artists of the time were painting with tempera paints. Tempera provided you with both an opaque and a transparent sort of surface, and it was sought after. And most of the American scene painters went into it. People like Thomas Benton, Grant Wood, Curry, all of those boys were painting with tempera. And so as a result, another chap who was my closest friend, a man named Axel Horn.
Spell that A?
A-X-E-L, H-O-R-N. Actually, his name was H-O-R-R, and he changed it to Horn, quite understandably, at the time. And Axel and I... He was a painter, by the way. And I used to kid around. I went to the Art Students League.
Because he influenced you to go with him?
No, I was interested in all the arts, actually. Don't forget, during the Depression era, you had a tremendous, awareness of the arts. For 25 cents, you could go to any of the plays. Theater was a tremendous attraction. You had people like Orson Welles and others going, but greater than that, you had the group theater, you had all of this in full blast with Eva LaGaglia's theater down on 14th Street, New York, repertory and this sort of thing. This is where I spent most of my time. There were great, the music was next to nothing. You could always end up listening to any opera for less than a dollar by standing. And so forth. And that's what I spent a good deal of my younger days doing, I must say. It was a period, I think, of
well,
probably the greatest period.
Well, were people subsidized then to perform?
Well,
was that part of it?
Well,
that
don't
it was
forget,
so
the WPA was going, yeah. And that's all.
Now, at that time, what about the medical care, and the, even through your youth, your health in your youth and the medical care available, and also in college in those days?
Well, actually, the medical field did not seem to be of much concern. I think I was fairly healthy, and for that matter, so was my family, thank heavens. The only thing that ever happened to me that was very serious was at about the age of 2, I pulled a kettle of hot boiling water down on me and practically died as a result. The only third degree marks left around my leg. My mother told me that for 9 months she did nothing, but she never got out of her dress or anything. She just constantly applied poultices and this sort of thing. I don't know the name of the doctor who lived next door who helped. I just remembered that the irony of the situation. Here's a man who extended himself so much on my behalf, whose name I don't know. The only thing I can know about him is that he was later disbarred for performing abortions.
Uh-huh.
And this is really a horrifying sort of thing. But I pulled through and then, of course, had all of the childhood diseases, including diphtheria and everything else. Survived it all and managed to, in fact, because of my, as a child, inability almost to walk, I went in for track and I became a fairly good runner. But I've never really been an athlete. Used to play football. That's amusing. And I can't comment about early medicine. We
what
had
about
a lot of
your adolescent years? Can you recall those?
I can vividly recall all my.
Was it a happy time for you or not?
I think it was. The adolescent time in New York was an extremely happy period, in the sense that I was alert. I was aware of everything going on. I think all of us took advantage of all the activities we had that were available. You spoke about art. How did I ever get involved? I remember I was about 15 or 16, but I read in the New York Times that the Metropolitan was showing those crazy paintings by a guy named Cezanne who painted apples blue, and I went up to look at them and found them very nice. And that's the way you sort of enter into things, you see. Even as a child, by the way, my brother and I would come into New York. It was about a 14-mile trip.
Oh, where did you live then?
I said Passaic.
But when you lived in New York, you lived in the city.
Right in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I never lived any place but in Manhattan. Well, we'd come in and we would do the Metropolitan in a day, and I say do, there was not a room undone. And same thing with going through natural history and this sort of thing.
Was your brother artistic too? I mean, interested? Was your brother interested?
Yes, very much so. Matter of fact, my brother had a superb voice. It was a natural voice. He was soloist at the Harvard Glee Club and made his money through singing, believe it or not. He'd sing in churches on a weekend, earn his keep, and he was encouraged by Koussevitzky to go to seriously study voice. He was also encouraged by the outstanding Chaucerian Shakespearean scholar, George Lyman Kittredge, to continue in literature. And the poor man, under the duress of the period, and by the way, his great desire was med. He took his pre-med, and of course there was no money for him to continue. So he never did go into medicine. His first job was sweeping out a bookshop up near Columbia University. It was an incredible background, you know. And he finally got into public relations And I'll briefly sketch in his career. And finally, he was he organized and carried the account from its inception until he retired a few years ago. It was the American Heart Association. He conceived of the entire thing, and it was his whole, that's one of the main areas of his activities. He had his own firm. It was called National Communications Associates in New York. And he did extremely well. But all of us, I think, when we work in different fields, we show our own natural tendencies and natural tendencies. And he went into more and more of medical accounts. We had things like Milltown and this sort of thing. He started all sorts of devices. He was the one that held all the big surveys on tranquilizer, the effects on them and so forth. He did all of this sort of key work, for which he was finally recognized, because the Golden Heart, which is always presented to people like presidents and, you know, this sort of thing, and outstanding men in the field of medicine who have done that much for heart work, was awarded to him upon retirement. So I think there's quite an award.
And he has a family?
Well, he has. I have a nephew. That's it. Richard.
Your sister, is she
My sister
married?
Is retired. No, she's not married.
Lives in New York?
No, she left New York, finally, to retire to Santa Fe. I finally found that was getting her down. I never heard of anybody getting sinus trouble in Santa Fe, but it can happen. After living in New York, that's sort of incredible. And she ultimately, she's down in Florida now.
And her field, you say, was oral?
Well, she actually became more interested in, she left that. When her brothers got to the point where they could help out, she left. And she was a sort of executive in the field of nursing. When I say use the word executive, I mean sort of like this was all for nurses and this sort of thing, you know, the organizations that sprang up in this. And she was involved in that towards the end of her life.
And now I know that you're married to the former Jane Cowan.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't have to comment on that. Right. I have been married before. Want me to continue on my own career?
Yes, yes, please. After your adolescence, when the college...
Well, I'll tell you, from there, I went into... I got a job after cost managing. I guess my first job was with a firm called Raymond and Raymond in New York. They were publishers of art reproductions, this sort of thing. And within 6 months, I was managing the gallery. It was a very large, enormous firm at that point, one of the large publication operations. We had quite a large staff. And I'll give its address at 40 East 52nd.
40 what?
40 East 52nd. Because you'll hear more about it.
Before you became manager, you say your first, what did you do when you went in with them originally? You became the manager.
Well, I was started in as just a salesman selling art, and then went into and ran the place in very short order. Then I left for the New York World's Fair in 1939. Now, this is dating it better, I guess, 1939, that's right. I left there.
This was before.
I started there in January, and I left in May to go out at the fair. And then I became assistant director to the old master exhibition there. I was the only executive retained for 2 years. I was a kid, by the way. was there in 1939, 1940. That was quite a deal, and most people don't realize, but when you charge 50 cents admission into an exhibition in those days, that's the equivalent of around, should we say, about $3 or $4 today, if not more. And we racked up about, for both years, we racked up about 2 million people. It was quite a job. I was very much involved in the whole promotion and everything else involved.
Especially in that day when art was not this...
But old masters never had the, the appeal of, or let's say the derision that always brought, let's say the entertainment of modern.
Previously to this, though, you have really...
I had no background.
No training in art.
No. Went right into it, cold.
Uh-huh.
Although I... Actually, my introduction to art was a very strange one.